Thank you all for praying so prayerfully and reflectively. Probably of all the subjects that I get most excited about presenting as clearly as I can the teaching of the church, it's on the holy angels. There's a reflection I would like to begin with from Venerable Solanus Casey. He tells us, if we could only learn to appreciate the holy Catholic faith and the innumerable blessings flowing from it, and the blessings otherwise surrounding us, we would never have time to worry about anything. Poor mortals that we are naturally inclined to minimize the importance of the spiritual and the eternal, and to overrate the physical and the temporal, the latter at the cost of the former. Let us shake off excessive worry and exercise a little confidence in God's merciful providence. Oh, what God must have ahead of us if we only leave all to his planning. Amen. Sometimes it has occurred as a priest during the past 26 years, a person will come up and say, Father, in the middle of the night, I had this dream. Or when I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, I had this understanding that was given to me. Or when I was driving along in the car, I could almost feel and experience the presence of my guardian angel. Is that possible? And to all three, I would have to say, of course. The way that we understand our own subjective experience is best seen within the framework of the objective teaching of the church. And so I'd like to begin this evening with a reflection from the Catechism of the Church, the Catholic Catechism of the Church. If you go to the section on the angels, if you've never opened the catechism before, there's an index, and you can go to the index and find a topic, and the angels are one such topic. The existence of angels in this presentation is a truth of our faith. The existence of the spiritual, non-material, non-corporeal beings that sacred scripture usually calls angels is a truth of our faith. The existence of angels is a truth of our faith. So if someone tries to convince you that angels are just a figment of your imagination, either outside or inside of the church, you can stand firmly on the teaching of the church and on this passage from the Catechism. The witness of Scripture is as clear as the truth of our tradition. St. Augustine tells us, angel is the name of their office. Okay, step back just for a moment. And you have to do a flip-flop like Solanus Casey just presented in the reflection that I gave. A little bit of a flip-flop. We're moving now from a world where we like to touch, we like to see, we like to smell, we like to taste, in order to validate our experience. And now the Catechism is telling us we have to use another level of our way to evaluate and also to validate our experience. St. Augustine says, angel is the name of their office, not of their nature. If you seek the name of their nature, it is spirit. So at the heart of what angels are, who angels are, it's so very totally different from us. When we get up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we take a shower, we change our clothes. We are always caring for and treating the physical part of ourselves because that's what we see. But angels do not have bodies. They have no physical, no material parts to them because that's the way that God created them. So when we come in contact with an angel, as we're going to see later on this evening and then again tomorrow, especially in Scripture, If there is a body attached to an angel, and sometimes the Lord will allow that to happen, it's really for our own protection. And in order to truly understand where angels fit in the whole picture, I have to give you a quick quiz question. Now think before you answer inside your head. It's a really hard question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Now think before you answer in your head. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, if you answer from the perspective of our scripture and tradition, you would have to say, neither. God came first. God always was, is, and always will be. You see, we're always thinking about everything connected to something else. For example, even the time that we experience is always related, okay, like 15 minutes ago, if I said write down on a tiny piece of paper where you were, you could say, well, I was in a car, I just finished dinner, I was doing the dishes. We can talk about our experience one connected to the next. And we can imagine what we'll be doing later on this evening, going to bed, doing our laundry, getting ready for tomorrow, all kinds of activities. And that's also connected to the present. So the past, the present, and the future are contiguous. They're connected. So when we're thinking in terms of angels, we're not material. We have to have a disconnect, as it were, and start thinking in a different way. Truly, God came before all things. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do another thing. This is a brain teaser. You have to kind of do little gymnastics in your head to kind of get geared up. Is it possible for you and I to think about absolutely nothing? Okay, you're in your brain. Father just said, what? Is it possible? Go deep down inside your brain. Don't fall inside your brain, but just go in your brain just for a second. Is it possible inside of the brain to think of absolutely nothing? It's impossible. In order to think of absolutely nothing, you have to think of something to make it nothing. And it's true. So when we try to come in contact with, okay, how can I begin to understand the nature of God and creation, you have to do a flip-flop. You have to start doing gymnastics in your head. Or maybe probably even a better way to do it, like when you first learn how to swim, the best way to learn how to swim is just to let go. You know, I remember the very first time that I was taking swimming lessons, and our instructor told us, when you get in the water, don't tense up, because what happens when you tense up? You become like a rock. Where do rocks go? Right to the bottom. Okay, the same thing's going to happen in your head. So don't tense up your head, because everything's just going to sink to the bottom. Just kind of let it go for a while and listen very attentively to the teaching of the church. So St. Augustine says that angels are really the name of the nature of their being. Okay, we call ourselves human beings, but we're not. We're really human doings. We really are. If I ask you, well, what'd you do today? Well, I got up, washed the car, had to go to work, had to feed the kids. We talk about what we've done over the past 12, 14, 16, 18 hours. But if I were to ask you how you are, most times, again, we flip back into that mode of, well, how am I? Well, I'm tired because I had to do all these things, and tomorrow I have to do all these other things. We really have a difficult time coming into contact with the fact that we are beings, beings created in the likeness of God. We're much more Martha than we are Mary. You know, in the scriptures, if you can relate to Martha, it's a reality that is true for most of us. Lord, where were you? If you would have paid attention, if you would have been connected to my prayer, you would have been here before my brother would have died, and now he's in the tomb, da-da-da-da-da-da. And where is Mary? Mary's at home contemplating and coming in contact with God, who is always with us. So St. Augustine says, when you start thinking about angels, you can't think about them like this big cop in the sky, or this big soldier who goes out and does all kinds of things, or your guardian who's always running after you here and there. You really have to understand that the nature of their office is just to be. The nature of their office is just to be. In heaven, you know, a lot of times I've been asked this question before, well, what are we going to do in heaven? You know, is it going to be fun? Is there a Taco Bell? You know, is there cable TV? Do we have Wii? You know, what will we do? And truly, it's not what we will do, it's how we will become and who we are. So in order to begin to appreciate the nature of angels, we have to start thinking in terms of being and not doing. That's why St. Augustine, a church father, tells us that we have to understand they're not physical. You can't knock on an angel's head because there's no physical material parts to them, unless God chooses to use that as a way to communicate himself. And then it's not fully material as we are material. And they only really are angels when they are on mission. The definition for an angel is a messenger. So if you haven't talked to your angel since you were born, well, he hasn't really, or she hasn't really had the opportunity to be an angel. Because the very nature of an angel is to be on mission. If you've ever seen in a church, I'd stop and see the two angels here to see which way they're facing. If you look at the angels on either side of the tabernacle, notice, well, actually these don't show it. But some of the angels that are in the church usually show a posture. The posture, one, is their hands are crossed. And the other posture of the angel on the other side is the hands are folded. One angel is receiving the message, the prayer that you present on God's holy altar, and the other is taking it to God's throne. So in the very posture of the angels in some churches around the tabernacle, they're communicating the reality is that they're not really angels until they are working, until they are on mission. With their whole beings, St. Augustine says, the angels are servants of God, because they always behold the face of the Father. How many of you have cell phones? Raise your hand. Have you ever lost your signal and lost the phone call? Yes. Your angels never lose a signal. They're always connected to God. In fact, right now, as many people as there are in this church, your guardian angel is present to you in the physical and also beholding what we describe in theology as the beatific vision. They're seeing God. What better spiritual A&T connection could we hope for than with our guardian angels? They're right there next to us. And at the same time, they have another foot in God's presence. So you lean over, you say, dear angel, I'm really tired. My brothers and sisters are driving me crazy. I want to kill them. Please help me. You don't think they're going to hear that prayer? From your heart or mouth to their ears to God's ears. That's the beautiful connection that God has given to us. And that's what St. Augustine is trying to describe when he says, who are they? They're servants and messengers, because they behold the face of my Father who is in heaven, and they are the mighty ones who do his word. Do his word, not work. Word. Remember at the very beginning in the Bible, what does God the Father say? Let there be light. What happens? There is the Word becomes real. At the incarnation, what happens? The Word becomes flesh. That's the nature of the incarnation. The Word becomes flesh. So if we are in a state of grace, and this is what is so awesome about our angels, if we are in a state of grace, if we are in the sacramental presence of the Lord, either waiting for us to embrace him inside the tabernacle or to reverence him on the altar in adoration, it is a time that our angels come most alive. Because when our hearts are most alive, that's when they can do their best work, and that's where we can connect to them. So when we stay in a state of grace, we have the potential of using our angels in a way that we couldn't have ever dreamed possible before, because they do His word. You know, we've heard our parents say this all the time when we were growing up. What did I just tell you? Which letter didn't you understand? The N or the O? You know, our parents, as we were growing up, were always forming us. How? They were forming us with words. How does God form us? He forms us with His holy word, His holy scripture. Because we are fallen, and we'll see this a little bit later on, because of original sin, all the parts don't work in us the way they're supposed to, so we're always struggling. One of the first cars that I ever owned was a 1973 Chevy. It had four on the floor, and only three of them worked. And every so often, that fourth one would kick in, and it was like, oh my gosh, I could pass that car now. You know, that's the way we are in our heart, in our souls, in our minds, in our intellect, in our bodies. We're fallen. We're always having to go to the repair shop. The parts don't work the way they're supposed to. But the angels are in perfect working order. Because they are pure spirit and not material, and now we're talking about not the fallen angels, but the angels who remain faithful to the Lord, because all their parts work, when God gives a word, what happens? It's taken into their intellect, because angels have pure intellect, just like we have intellect, human intellect. They have angelic intellect. When that word goes into the intellect, what does it do? It goes right to their will, to the heart. And because there is the perfect connection between intellect and will, there's obedience. Wouldn't that be neat if we could teach our kids to be like angels? You say a word, snap, it happens. No bickering, no arguing, no dissension. The word becomes what it says it is. And that's how angels operate, as it were. And that's what St. Augustine is telling us in this teaching. They are perfect spirit, perfect intellect, perfect will. So when the word is given, goes into the intellect, into the will, and it becomes what it says it is. And they're constantly trying to teach us to do the same thing. And it's a very beautiful gift that the angels have to offer us. They've been with us since the moment of our conception and will be with us until the time that we breathe our last and come before God for our personal judgment. And then their work is done. And they get to go off into retirement, as it were, because they don't go to someone else. Your guardian angel is unlike any other guardian angel, because your guardian angel and my guardian angel were specifically created to get me from where we are here to where God is. That's their mission. Get the person that they've been assigned to from here in a fallen state through the power of Jesus and His resurrection to enjoy the beatific vision. St. Augustine goes on to say they are purely spiritual creatures. They have intelligence and will. They are personal and immortal creatures, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures, as the splendor of their glory bears witness. You and I were created for one purpose, and that is to glorify God. The angels are already doing that perfectly. It's sort of like on the 4th of July, if you ever got a sparkler that was a dud, you know, it kind of lights at the top and kind of fizzes, and all of a sudden, psh, it's out. Well, an angel is always sparkling. It never goes out. It's always giving glory back to God. And that's what St. Augustine presents to us. In just a few short paragraphs, he summarizes a lot of theology. And it may be causing your head to get kind of a little mushy right now if you're feeling like, what is he talking? Why is he? How can this be? That's okay. Because just ask your guardian angel, give me a little jump start here, you know? Your guardian angel's hanging on to you. Your guardian angel can fill you with super fuel from heaven. Ask for that grace right now. Ask for the angels to help you in your intellect and in your will become more and more like them. One of the beautiful things that we also have in the Catechism is that it teaches us how to perceive how God entered into His creation. And from another part of the Catechism, we find that creation means that God brought all things in the universe into existence out of nothing and that he keeps them in existence. Only God, whose power is without limit, can do that. We owe everything we have to God. As I said earlier, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be a firmament, and in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And so it happened. Comes from Genesis. The Catechism of the Catholic Church also tells us, though the work of creation is attributed to the Father in particular, it is equally a truth of faith that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together are one individual, indivisible principle of creation. All that's saying is that we can come to understand the beauty of our angels simply by observing the created order around us. And it's happened to us many times before. You might be out hunting sometime, and it's just around the time that the sun is rising, and you just pause for a few moments, and you see that little shiny globe come up over the horizon, and where there was darkness, now there is light. Maybe the very first time that you beheld your newborn son or daughter, there was something that was stirred in your being that made you feel more than what you were at that moment. And you come to understand how little we know and can appreciate all that is around us because, as Solanus Casey pointed out earlier, we miss so many things because our minds are going here and there and not focused where we need to be focused. So we can come to know God through his creation. In fact, there are, for those who do not know God, ways just to observe through the physical senses using the ordinary intellect and come to a deeper understanding of the reality of God. The Second Vatican Council tells us about creation. The Eternal Father, in accordance with the utterly gratuitous and mysterious design of his wisdom and goodness, created the whole of the universe and chose to raise up men to share in his own divine life. So before we were created, if you're going this way toward God, before we were created, we know that the angels were created first. So there was God. God breathed into creation. From nothing, he creates something. The first of the created has a name. His name is Lucifer. And then after Lucifer was created, then all of the angels came from there. And at a particular time in creation, we all came about through Adam and Eve. So we can come to understand how creation came to be simply by observing it, understanding the process and the development of that creation, and in it we can see where the angels fit in that whole process of itself. So as we look at God's created order, we find him revealed so very beautifully in that creation. So there are those things that we see immediately in front of us, the material world. We come to understand that there are those creatures that we cannot see, that within the whole realm of creation are glorifying God, and eventually that leads us to God's throne. So we can know God through created things, and that's another beauty that we have in the Catechism of the Church. We can come to understand our place, the place of the angels that God has so beautifully given to us. You know, sometimes when we try to put parameters around things that we can't understand, it causes us to kind of get lost, and we seem to want to be able to have validations of that. There was a time I can remember, probably perhaps about 3 or 4 years old, I can remember my mom sitting me down, and she was very serious. She said, "Mark, I want to tell you something. You have a guardian angel, and your guardian angel loves you. Your guardian angel is always watching over you. But at the end of the day, your guardian angel reports to me everything you've ever done. So if you think that there isn't anything that you do that I don't know, well, your guardian angel makes up for that." So I was thinking, well, where is this guardian angel, Mom? I've never seen him. Well, she said, The way that God made the angels, they move so fast, they move in between moments of time. So you really can't see them. So I thought, I'm going to see this angel and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. So I can remember as a little kid, I was so short, I had to stand on a little step stool. And I thought, if I stand looking in the mirror long enough, surely he's going to slip up. And I'm going to see him and say, okay, mister, we're going to have a talk. There I was. I must have spent 2 or 3 hours just staring in the mirror, hoping to be able to see that guardian angel that always reports on me. But you know, my mom was teaching me two very beautiful realities about creation. First and foremost, that God loves us so much that he gives us a protector. And that protector comes in the form of our guardian angel. And even more beautifully, she was teaching me that in the whole order of things, whether it's the guardian angel, whether it's her, God is always caring for us. He never forgets us. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves in a situation, could be a trouble or a sorrow that we have, and it feels like we're distant even from the people that we love most, the people that we live with, the people that we work with. It almost seems like we can become so isolated that God isn't present. But nothing is further from the truth, especially when we reflect on the nature of the angel. Our guardian angel has never, ever left us. In fact, if we could see our guardian angel, if God would allow us to see with our physical eyes and the eyes of our soul what our guardian would look like, they would take on many of our same characteristics. Not that those angels want to imitate us, but by the very nature of the angels, we absorb some of them. It's so awesome the way that God communicates himself. He knows as a fallen individual, we can't possibly come to know him and love him in a fallen state. So he gives us these angels so that by their very presence and by our being very attentive to their presence, we can become more like them and also come to know and to love God more intimately. It's a very beautiful thing. If you've lost the habit of praying the angel of God prayer, angel of God, my guardian dear, in whom God's love entrusts me here, ever this day be at my side, delight to guard, to rule, to guide, amen. It's a very beautiful prayer to remember. As a little kid, I can remember that was one of the series of prayers that we all had to pray before we went to bed. And I was always the one who had the worst nightmares, and my mom would tell me, hey, now that you know that your guardian angel is there, you don't have to wake me up anymore. You can just go to your bedside and talk to your angel. She was a very smart mom. And I would. There would be times that I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd say, guardian angel, even though I can't see you, you know, I need you to watch over me. I need you to protect me. And there was something very comforting, not only in the truth that my mother was teaching me about the reality of the angels, but as I said before, of how close God desires to be to us. That it's just awesome to think. The 4 billion plus people that are walking the face of the earth, that there are at least that many angels, 4 billion plus angels, created specifically for every individual for no other purpose than just to draw them closer into God's love and to God's light. And the only thing it takes is an opening of the heart. I think you've all seen that picture before of Jesus knocking on the door. Have you ever noticed in the picture what's missing on the outside? The handle, the doorknob. When Jesus knocks at the door of our heart, in order for him to enter, because we have free will, what has to happen? We have to open the door from the inside. And that's true for all the gifts that God gives to us, including the gift of our guardian angel. You may have never thought about how beautiful your guardian angel is until this moment. You may have never realized that St. Augustine, a church father, tells us that they are real, that they are a truth of our faith, that they never leave us, that they are perfectly created to give God glory, and in doing so, they can teach us how to do the very same thing. And in doing so, we can come to become more like God through their holy intercession. And that is one of the gifts that we have when we draw closer to our guardian angel, the very beautiful gift that we have. Christ is the center of the angelic world. The prayers that we prayed at the foot of the altar to Our Lady, Queen of all saints and queen of the angels, is a reminder of how God has created, truly created the universe. Christ is at the center, the angels surround them, the saints surround the angels, and around the angels we surround them. They are his angels. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, they belong to him because they were created through and for him. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or authorities. Tomorrow we're going to have another handout that lists the various choirs of angels. And just like you can have, if you're an electrician, you've done any kind of electrical work, you know, you have different intensities of electricity. You can have a 9-volt battery. You can have a 110 outlet. You can have a 220 outlet. Well, angels were designed similarly in terms of their being. The angels range in those choirs like we might come to organize power or electricity. They come in different intensities, and they were created in different intensities to give God glory. You always had, and I can say this, I have three parishes. One's a German parish, one's an Irish parish, and one's a combination. It's a mission of both. And in the German parish, I can say, we know God had to be German because he created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. He was so totally organized, he could get it all done and put together. And the reality is that God has created an order in the universe, and he desires for that same order to become part of our reality, both on the visible level and the invisible level, so that we can come to know something of him. The angels have been present since creation and throughout the history of salvation. So even before Adam and Eve were created, we'll see this a little bit more tomorrow when we start to go through some of the sacred scriptures, and we see a portrait being given to us of the angels in both the Old and the New Testament. But the angels were created before we were created, and they were present even before we came into being through Adam and Eve. And they, even before we were born and created as a human race, were announcing the beauty of God and his created order. Remember on the eve that Christ was born, who were out on the hillsides were the shepherds, and who is it that they heard announcing the beautiful announcement of the birth of Christ? It was the angels singing. And because the shepherds were so simple and so pure and so undivided, they were able to go from this physical level that we live in, and God connected them in a very beautiful way to the next level so that they could hear the angels singing. But the truth is the angels have always been singing and glorifying God since the beginning of their creation, even before we were created, because that was their purpose and is their purpose, to give God glory. In fact, that is our purpose after we die, simply to give God glory. From the incarnation, the birth of Christ, to the ascension, the life of the Word incarnate is surrounded by the adoration and service of angels. I have to tell you the story. One time a person came up to me and they said, "I think I have to go to the hospital." I said, "Why?" "Well, this person told me, you can't tell my spouse this, but at Mass, I saw this very beautiful figure above the altar." And that person began to describe these other figures that were around them. And without the individual knowing what they were describing, because they at the time weren't aware, at least in their intellect, of what God was allowing them to see. God was allowing them to see at the time of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, all 9 choirs of angels surrounded around the altar at the time of the transubstantiation. And this person said, "But there was this figure at the top I didn't recognize, so I had to go to," I don't know if it was her first Holy Communion book or where it was that she went to, but she said, "Do you know who it was?" And I knew who she was going to say. She said, "It was Saint Michael. He even had the straps, as you see him with the lace boots. He had the traditional breastplate, the sword, and she was given the grace at the time of the consecration, the reality of what is going on in heaven that comes down to every altar at the time of Holy Mass, that the angels are no closer. In fact, if we could see what happens at the time of Mass, how crowded it is, you kind of like want to move around. It's like, excuse me? You know, every saint and every angel that could possibly be present in one place is present, because what's happening in heaven, they are always beholding the beauty and the beatific vision of God. So there's God's throne, there's the nine choirs of angels, there are the saints and angels around them, there's the queen of all angels and all saints, Our Lady. That is a constant reality. What happens at Holy Mass, at the time of creation, those two come very close together. So even though this person thought that they were crazy and there was something wrong with them, they were only seeing, because of the grace that God gave to them, and maybe her guardian angel kind of shifted her spiritual glasses. You know, sometimes if you have bifocals, you kind of have to move them around or kind of rearrange your contact lenses in order to see. She was being given a very beautiful picture of how things really are, both here and there. And that's what angels can do for us that is so beautiful and so intense. You know, if you've ever had to study calculus, or if you've ever taken chemistry before, I still have nightmares about chemistry. I'm in chemistry class, it's the final exam, and my calculator breaks. And I've only answered the first question. I don't know why that is, but I always get stuck right there in chemistry class. The angels have a way of getting us unstuck wherever we're stuck because of the great grace that God has given to them in communicating the reality of what is. You know, we're protected in a way because God understands that if we were to see everything the way it really was, we would probably die. Truly, if we were to be at this moment, if everybody was able to see their guardian angel as they were, you know what would happen to us? We'd have about 150 funerals. Because we would be so excited to be that connected to God that our soul would literally want to come out of itself to be where that angel was. So if you're ever mad at your husband or wife, just tell them, I hope you see your guardian angel today. I hope you see God. Because that's the reality. Because we're in this fallen state. Because we're in this fallen state, we're not capable in the intellect, in the will, because the intellect is busted and broken because of original sin. It's not complete. The will is also broken and incomplete. So they're revving their engines with their perfect intellect, their perfect will, their perfect obedience, and we're trudging along. But because God is so gracious, He never overpowers us because He loves us so dearly. So He truly, truly brings us along. So these angels that this individual saw at the time of Mass, that wasn't a hallucination. That's the reality. That truly is the reality. If we could, even just for a few moments, come in contact with just a tiny bit of the love that our angels have in their heart, we would be in ecstasy. We would never, ever want to sin again, because we would know completely how much God loves us. If for no other reason, just in the created being that God has given to us at that moment. How beautiful the angels are, and how much they love us, and how sad they are when we either don't recognize their presence, or forget to recognize their presence, or fail to use the many graces that they can bring to us. And know, because they know that we're so imperfect and that we're so broken, they like simple stuff. You know, if you're around a 2-month-old or a 3-month-old or a 6-month-old that haven't learned how to talk, and moms know this, dads know this, grandparents know this, what do? You talk baby talk. You grunt. You make noises. You spit. You make goofy faces. Is that a language? Well, to that child, to that young infant, of course it is. It isn't so much in the spitting and the rolling of your eyes or the making, you know, mouth noises or whatever, the clicking of your keys. It isn't so much that. It's the desire to communicate and in the desire to communicate what happens, there's joy. The angels are the same way. They have to talk baby talk to us because they know that we're so broken and so incomplete. But if we just pay a little bit of attention to their presence and welcome their presence, open the door of our hearts, they can do wonderful things for us. We're going to hear in just a few moments just a very beautiful reflection by two very great saints in the church, St. Bernard and also St. Gregory the Great. Also, if you've ever read anything about Padre Pio understood the nature of the angelic world. He understood how powerful the angels are. He understood how over a period of time through the baby talk, as it were, that the angels communicated to him, how he could baby talk back to them, and how that relationship grew in a very beautiful way. And he came to understand that even though many people around him weren't using their guardian angels, that he could get his guardian angel to get their guardian angel to work, which was a very beautiful thing. It's sort of like if you've ever been in a school band, you know, the kind of school bands that you hear in grade school are so-so because kids are really struggling and learning the musical instrument. You get on the high school level, it gets a little bit better. You get on the college level and it improves. You finally get to the symphony and it's wonderful. And that's the nature of how God works very slowly with us. He takes us where we're at. He gives us what we can understand. And the angels are excited about teaching us what they know and what they have been given by God. Because their primary mission, as I said, is to get us from where we are here to where God is in heaven. Very beautiful thing. Very beautiful gift. I'd like to end this evening with just a couple of reflections, one from St. Bernard and also one from St. Gregory. St. Gregory tells us, "You should be aware that the word angel denotes a function rather than a nature." We heard that already from the Catechism. "Those holy spirits of heaven have indeed always been spirits. They can only be called angels when they deliver some message. Moreover, those who deliver messages of lesser importance are called angels, and those who proclaim messages of supreme importance are called archangels." As we're going to see tomorrow in the handout that you're going to receive about the nine choirs, the archangels are one particular choir, and of those, probably the angels, the archangels that we're most familiar with are Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. You know, strictly speaking, angels have no names. I've been asked before, after conferences or retreats that I've given on the angel, that people have come up and said, "Well, does my angel have a name?" And strictly speaking, no, they don't. But angels love to be able to be named, because what happens when we name something? You know, you get a dog, you get a puppy, he's so cute, a name comes to mind, you attach that name to the dog, or a kitty, or some other animal. You know, most people don't say, "Oh, here's my dog," and you say, "Well, what's the dog's name?" "A dog." You know, we give him a name. You know, "Here's my cat." "What's your cat's name?" "Cat." You know, we kind of laugh at that, but we laugh because by very nature we're relational. So we know that our husband's name is Tom, or our wife's name is Judy, or our grandchild's name is Gabriel. And so we come into a relationship through that name, and the angels understand that. So strictly speaking, no, angels do not have names. Michael is not Michael, the archangel's name. Michael is actually a description of the nature of his being. And if you were to translate the name Michael from the original language, it would come out to be something like this: "Who is like unto God." Gabriel's name is not really Gabriel, but it would translate into something like this: "Strength of God." And if you were to translate the archangel Raphael, you would come up with a translation something like this: "Remedy of God." And we're going to see a little bit more a reflection of that tomorrow, that all of the angels are connected to some way, in some way, to a very beautiful aspect of God's heart. There's a very beautiful reflection that we're going to look at tomorrow concerning that. So that was the reflection that St. Gregory gives to us. St. Bernard tells us, God has given his angels charge over you to guard you in all of your ways. These words, says St. Bernard, should fill you with respect, inspire devotion, and instill confidence. Respect for the presence of angels, devotion because of their loving service, and confidence because of their holy protection. And so the angels are here, they are at your side, they are with you always, they are present on your behalf. They are here to protect you and to serve you. But even if it is God who has given them this charge, we must nonetheless be grateful to them for the great love with which they obey and come to help us in our need. One of the first things that I did in the parishes that I was assigned to, because I had done that in the parishes before, and I was glad to see that that is a practice here at this parish, is at the end of Mass to pray the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. And it was a little bit of a task to get people familiar, because as you know, there are a couple of different versions of the prayer to St. Michael, a few variations, nothing really major. So what we decided to do is we would just use the one that was on the back of the Missalette. And you know, after a couple of months of praying that prayer, and people took to it readily, I was surprised. They were very open to it. They looked forward to praying. In fact, when I'm not there and a visiting priest comes, they start it anyway if the priest forgets it, because it's become so much a part of the process of worshiping God and making that transition from the holy altar out into the street. And I could list story after story after story of parishioners who have come up and said, you know, since we've been praying that St. Michael the Archangel prayer, I can't begin to tell you how much more safe I feel at night. Or I had one person come up and say, I shouldn't be dead. I should be dead right now. And she described this almost horrific car accident. And she said, I can't physically tell you how I didn't hit this person, but all I did was yell out, St. Michael. And she didn't even get to the rest of the prayer. And she avoided the accident. She goes, I know I should be dead. I know I should have been in that car accident. And I also know that Michael was there to protect me. So the more that we can open our heart, just like Jesus knocking at the heart of our door, we open the door from the inside. The more that we can pray, it doesn't have to be a traditional prayer to the angel. Tonight when you go to bed, if you just say, guardian angel, don't fall over dead, but I'm talking to you right now. I love you. You're my friend. However you can help me, please be near me. You will make your guardian angel so happy, especially if you've never addressed or spoken with them. And if you need to, which most people do because it's a very natural process, say, God, you know, help me to know how to name or who to name my guardian angel after. And I guarantee you, you ask the Holy Spirit, if you've never done that before, a name will come in your head and it will stick. And it will stay with you. And that's a gift from your guardian angel. The more that we can open our hearts to the presence of the angels, the more they can do for us. The more they can do for us, we start this process. And this is what we're going to see a little bit in Scripture tomorrow. We start this process of the more you know about God, what happens? He opens your heart. And when he opens your heart, he causes you to love more. What happens when you love more? You want to know more. What happens when you want to know more? God gives you the grace to love more. And when we begin that process of knowing, loving, knowing, loving, knowing, loving, and cover that with serving God, that's the process that will be going on for eternity. And your angels can give you a crash course right now. Because they know you, they know your temperament, they know your moods, they know your sense of humor, they know every intimate detail about you. They know your strengths, they know your virtues, and they know your vices. And the more that you can surrender to them, because that's why God gave them to you and I, because God's love is so intense for us, he doesn't want to lose one person. The more we can begin to do that now, the more we begin to enter into that process of falling into eternity with God, which is that whole process of knowing and loving and knowing and loving and knowing and loving. I'd like to end this evening with this prayer. Let us bow our heads as we pray. God has given his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Let them thank the Lord for his divine mercy, his wonderful works, are for the children of men. Let them give thanks and say among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. O Lord, what is man that you have made yourself known to him? And why do you incline your heart to him? And you incline your heart to him, you show your care and your concern. Finally, you send your only Son and your grace and the grace of your Spirit and promise him a vision of your countenance. And so that nothing in heaven should be wanting in your concern for us, you send those blessed spirits to serve us, assigning them as our guardians and as our teachers. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this evening, for opening our minds and hearts to the beautiful teachings that we have in our Catholic Church, from our catechism, from the various councils, from the various church fathers. We thank and praise you, Lord, for all the grace and knowledge that you have given to us of the holy angels. Lord, we ask that you will pour forth a beautiful spirit over all of us, over all of our families, over all of our homes. May our guardian angels always go before, above, and behind, and below us. May they always anticipate our needs. May we come to know them and love them, and in doing so, come to know you and love you more fully. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. May God continue to bless and keep all of you in the name of the Father.